You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. I'm absolutely thrilled you're here with us tonight. It's an extraordinary night for me. I got a great show lined up for you guys. But remember, if you have an encounter or the paranormal of your own, or if you have some opinion of the paranormal that you feel like you'd like to share, or some encounter, whether it be UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, whatever, please feel free to email them to me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com, and I'd be thrilled to share them on the shows with you. So, but tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a great show. This our guest tonight is a longtime friend of the show, a longtime friend of my own, personally, she's just an amazing person that's been coming on the portal for years now and doing free psychic readings for callers to the live shows. But I'd like to introduce you all to Mrs. Deborah Varner, who is joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to the show, Deb.
Thanks so much, Brent. Excuse me. I'm so happy to be here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for allowing me this few minutes to get in touch with you and let you know a little bit of something about who I am.
Well, it's a great pleasure, and thank you so much for making time to be on the show. Now you of course are a psychic. Just a little bit of background on this, for our podcast listeners. I'm sure our regular listeners are well versed in this, but how did this start for you? How did you start, you know, becoming a psychic? I don't know if that's the right way to say it. Like, not like you drank a special potion and boom, you were psychic, but when did you realize you had gifts?
I realized things were going on when I was young. I was born into it, and there's a lot of people, that's how it happens. It's passed down through families. Mm-hmm. And kind of got a double dose because my great-grandparents were first cousins, so of course that just intensified everything that we had to begin with. Wow. But yeah, it was passed down through my mother's side of the family. I had noticed things going on, like I said, wasn't really sure exactly what it was that I could do or, you know, what to think of it until I was 17. I took a course in witchcraft. Uh-huh. And it was like a quick thing that they were given at my high school. And they had a lady in doing a lecture, and after the lecture was over with, she was going around meeting with some of us, and that's when I first found out, you know, that this is what was going on, that I was able to see spirits, that I am in fact a psychic, empath, and from the things that she told me, I started looking things up and researching, And I started realizing exactly who I was and what I could do, and things started making sense to me then.
Wow. And have you always used your gifts in the way that you are now, or is this something that developed over time? In other words, now you're doing readings, you're helping people, guiding people. Has this always been the way, or was it more of a private thing for you for a long time?
It was more a private thing. I didn't wholeheartedly announce it to everyone. I mean, a few of my closer friends kind of knew things that I did because they paid attention to me. But for the most part, I kind of kept it quiet, especially when I had children of my own. I knew they were able to do it, but I felt like I was protecting them. Little did I realize in later years that I would have been better off if I had been more open with them, because as they came into their teen years, they started figuring out what Mom was doing. And it was like, okay, hey, come over and see what my mom does.
Hey, guys, watch this.
Yeah, so then it sort of came out in the open, and I did start becoming more open with what I did, and, people coming to me, they would ask, that they're like, I have noises in my house. Will you come over and check and see if there's actually anything there? Mm-hmm. So that there also was my introduction into investigations. I finally brought everything out when my kids were teenagers. And as like I said, they're able to do it. The boys, although, they would invite their friends over for me to talk to and, tell them stuff here and there. My daughter is the one that has actually used hers. And, she can do everything that I can do pretty much. Uh-huh. So, but, And then it went on to, people saying, well, can you come and read for my friend or my friend's having problems? Can you come talk with them and see if you can tell them something? From there, I started in on the internet, mm-hmm. and I was doing the psychic readings. I'm an empathic psychic. I'm also a medium, and I would do channeling on the internet. That I don't do quite as much as the readings, mm-hmm. but I have done that for quite a few years. And I love doing that, because as well as, with doing the psychic readings, I give people information to help them out. With channeling, it's just a little bit better, because there are so many people that have told me, I always wish that I had that last moment. Mm. And they thank me because they could have closure now. And it warms my heart to be able to help people in any way that I can. I absolutely love what I do.
I know you do. And that's the part that I think really amazed me, was the fact that you were so giving and so open and so free about it. That was something that I wasn't really familiar with. I've been around psychics most of my life. I've had several family members who were involved in psychic communities. And, a lot of them have these extraordinary gifts, but, they always, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but they always had these really big price tags attached to their gift. It's like, $300 for a psychic reading. It's like, my God, it's such a steep price. And, I understand that the gifts are valuable and all of that, but here you were, someone that I met online, actually, and you were just doing it freely, just to be helpful. And I was so impressed with that you had such a charitable heart to help anybody that needed it, and, taking your time and your energy to, be there for people and to help them find their way. I was just so impressed by that.
Oh, thank you. I looked at it, back then, and still mostly now, that, it was a God-given gift for free, and, use it that way. I have, of course, since then, you know, I have a page now to do private readings. Mm-hmm. And even my mentor, Judy, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit flustered, but anyway, my mentor, Judy, she used to get on me. She's like, Deborah, you know, if you worked any other job, honey, you would get paid.
Right.
But, it was just kind of hard for me. But I have, you know, come to the realization, okay, you know, yeah, I do have to take care of myself, too. So.
Right, exactly. And it makes perfect sense to... You know, it's like you and I were having this discussion, and I was like, you know, back when you were first starting talking about doing this, and I was telling you, it's like, Deb, you know, artists don't paint, portraits for free. Photographers don't come and shoot your wedding just because they're good at it. It's okay to be compensated for that. And I know that you now do that, and I was so happy that you do. But I have to tell you, you're still... by far the most reasonable reader for prices I've ever even heard of.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've had a couple of psychics tell me that, you know, I I'm way cheaper than they are. So
yeah, by like, you know, not even in the same ballpark in the most cases, but you know, your process is also really cool. And I think this is, you know, I've been around a lot of psychics, and I've been around a lot of charlatans as well. And a lot of people that are practicing psychics are, they're using a word banter. They're using a phrase game or a psychological repertoire to uncover things, you know, in terms of, oh, do you take a K name? Or maybe it's a J name, and living or dead. And, you know, they ask all these leading questions to get to something of substance. And then they make some bold statements based on all of that information they've got, and they're playing themselves off as psychics. And to me, that was just like, wow, you know, people are buying this. But your process, when you've been on the show, is just, it's really incredible, because you're like, hi, what's your name? And you're not asking for full name or anything like that, so you could quick Google them or whatever. You're just like, what's your first name? And people tell the first name, and then you ask, what do you want a reading about? In other words, you know, do you want to know about your job or you know, romance or, just general or whatever? And then they say one word, and boom, you're off to the races. And you're pulling up this phenomenal information out of seemingly nowhere. And I'll tell you, when you first started coming on the show, I was just like, well, you know, we'll see how this goes, you know, because I feel like I have a responsibility to try to represent, you know, the truth in this. And I had never heard you read before this, you know, so I had no idea what your process was. I just thought it'd be neat for the show to do readings. But I sit back and I listen on the shows that you're on, and I'm just amazed. I'm just sitting there going, where the hell did she pull that off of? You know, where did that come from? Because, you know, we'll be like, what's your name? And for instance, one caller, and I'm just going to paraphrase this, ladies and gentlemen, but it was one caller. What's your name? My name is Pete. Okay, Pete, what do you want to know? Well, a general reading. And then there's a pause. Oh my gosh, you are really musical. You are incredibly musical. and find out that this person is a musician. Neither Deb or I knew who this person was from Adam. We just give out the phone number and say, call in, free readings. And it was dead on. It was dead on accurate. And you walk through all these things. And so many times, you know, you've indicated health issues for people. And many times they haven't been aware of. But soon after that, we've gotten so many contacts after that saying, you said I had something in my stomach, and you were right, blah, blah, blah. I suddenly had pains after that, went to the doctor, and boom, you know, they found out that they, you know, in one case, the person had life-saving surgery before they had a problem, and it was really, really cool. Your process is incredible.
I have help.
Well, yes, I know.
yeah. I use my guides a lot. They help me out immensely. You know, I don't know where I would be without them. I use the name to connect to their energy. And then I go back and forth with my guides to pull up the information.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a couple of things that I do want to get into throughout the course of the show, because this is a show about the psychic experience and understanding that for most of us out there that, you know, maybe have some degree of sensitivity but don't really understand what this means or how to develop it. And I would like to, if you're okay with it, making some of the show about how to help people get in tune with those things. Is that all right with you?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, so first of all, you reference guides, but I suppose before we get to that point, how do people increase their sensitivity? So let's say somebody out there is listening and they're like, you know, I think I might be psychic, but I'm not really sure. What are some things they can do to help increase their sensitivity and to develop the sight, sound, vision, whatever?
You can meditate, mm-hmm. take time to calm your mind so that you can pay attention. If you're receiving messages, you're receiving information. If you quiet your mind, that's the time when you're going to be able to start picking up on stuff more. A lot of times, if you're hearing spirits or you happen to be seeing spirits and you're not really sure exactly what's going on, you can always ask, you know, someone that is involved with it, like me. I'm more than happy to answer questions. You can go, a lot of the libraries will have books on the information, and that will give you more into the things that you're doing, what it's called. It will give you more information as to, you know, what you can do, what you will be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just use it as much as you can. And I've noticed, as with myself and other people, a lot of times as we get older, our gifts tend to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might feel like you're going through a stagnant stage where you're just like, oh gosh, have I lost it?
Uh-huh.
No, we all go through that at one point usually. It's just kind of like short period when you're getting ready to bump up or boost up what you do. Either what you've already got is going to get a little bit more intense, or you're going to go on to something else. You're going to add on to your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you get a chance to find a mentor, someone that does the things, you know, like I do, someone you can talk to that has been into it for a while, normally they will sit down and talk to you and answer your questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
They will help you. If they don't, or if they ask you for money, I'm not knocking these people,
mm-hmm.
but normally we will try to help the younger ones come into their own. So we'll go ahead and kind of mentor them along to try to help them figure out where they're going or what they're doing, or, you know, explain to them that they say, well, I've been doing this, you know, mm-hmm. what's going on? And we will sit down and talk with them and try to explain and fill in the blanks that they have, you know, about the gifts that they do have, maybe where they came from, a possibility of where they came from. There's just so many different things that go into it, but a lot you can find, like I said, you can find information. There are books out there. Now, Chip Coffee is really good where younger kids are concerned. I really mm-hmm. like him. He is excellent for working with kids. One of my favorites for the older ones, and he's got books and stuff out there, is James von Prague. He's really good. So, I mean, if you go out there and check around and see if there's nobody around, because I talked to one person and they're like, well, I'm from a little town and there's not anybody around that I know like me. I invited them to the show. Now they're part of the family and they absolutely love being there. But if you can find somebody, then I suggest that. If you can't, then, you know, try to get as much information as you can, read up on it, take some time for yourself, you know, quiet your mind if you can, and listen, because you have guides there. That little voice in the back of your mind, that's your guides, and they will help you along also in the things that you're doing, not just everyday life, but in your gifts also.
Right. And that brings up my second question about this. And how does a person get in touch with their own guides?
You say, hey, guides. No, I'm sorry. No. You can talk to your guides. Usually, if you have that gift and you're able to get a hold of your guides and talk with them, they're there to help you. Just listen for them. Pay attention, because if you go to do something and all of a sudden it's like, no, don't do that, that's usually your guides telling you not to.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't listen to them and you do it anyway, you'll find out what happens. It's not usually, it's not life-threatening most of the time, but it's not usually, you know, good. Or they will tell you, you know, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. There's been times when I got lost and I pulled off on the side of the road and I had a discussion with my guides. I'm like, listen, I have no idea where I'm going. Give me a little help here. And I'll sit there and get quiet and I'll listen for them. Next thing you know, I'm right on my way where I'm supposed to be, and I get to my destination. You just have to start paying attention to them, talking to them. They will talk back. It's not like having a conversation, you mm-hmm. know, back and forth with another person, but they will talk to you. They will help you out. And always remember, if they have helped you with something, thank them for their help, because they are a big help. And if you thank them and you show admiration for them, then they're more than welcome to come back and help you more and more each time.
Very cool. Yeah, and I think that's really powerful. Really powerful stuff. Now, does everybody have a guide?
Everybody I know of has guides. They have, not everybody has the same number. Some have more than others. Sometimes if something happens in their life to change things and their path has changed, one guide will leave to let another one come forward that can help with that new path. Most time we have basically the same guides. But yeah, you know, every once in a while, like I said, they can switch off. But I mean, you know, different numbers, different guides for different things. And yeah.
That's very cool. I found it really interesting on one of the shows you were on. That became the theme of the night. Everybody wanted to know, how many guides do I have? Now, having more guides or less guides is not necessarily a measure of, you know, value, is it? I mean, like, one guide is just as good as having five guides, per se, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just depends upon what you need in your life as to how many are there and what they're there for.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's, you know, good or bad that you've only got two and this other one's over here has got three or four, or, mm-hmm. you know, don't worry about that. No, you're
okay.
just given what you need.
I gotcha. Okay. And that was something I was curious about, because it did come up on that one show. It was like, everybody wanted to know. One person asked the question and then everybody else that called in that whole night wanted to know about their guides. And I thought that was neat, because it had never come up before. But at the same time, I was like, well, what does that mean if you have more or less, or is that more valuable to have several, or, you know, but that's great. I'm glad you quantified that, because that's been a question that's been on my mind that I haven't ever had an opportunity to ask.
Yeah, that night was just awesome. You know, it's like one person said something, it was like dominoes the
right.
whole night.
Yeah, yep. And everybody suddenly became really focused on their guides. And I think that's great. So you say they are the voice inside. Now, how do you differentiate between your own conscience and a guide? I mean, does it feel different when you're hearing from your guide, or how do you make that distinction for the layperson?
To me, it does.
Okay.
At first, you might not be able to. as you go on and use them more and more, you will be able to recognize, you know, when they're getting in touch with you as to whether it's something that, you know, you've had on your mind or you've been thinking about. They will make themselves known.
Okay. Huh. So it may be.
And
may,
they can't.
Go ahead.
They can get huffy sometimes. I'm just telling you.
Nice. So they definitely don't want to be ignored.
No, they don't.
Now, can a guide ever quit? Just like, I'm done with this clown.
Honestly, I don't know. I really do not know that. It's like I said, I do know that they will switch off sometimes, but it's usually because you and your life and your path has changed. Therefore, this one needs to go because they're not needed anymore. So this other one comes in to cover, you know, whatever needs to be.
Right.
And if you remember, I was talking to someone that night, and they said something about they felt like another guide was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, that's a possibility that one was getting ready to step down for this other one to come in. Or it could have been a possibility that another one was going to be added on. They were just waiting for that one thing to pull them on in.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No, that's fantastic. And I'm really, really thrilled that you've answered these questions now, because like I said, I've carried them along for a while, but you know me, if it's not happening right in that moment, I'll probably forget about it until sometime when it's there, you know, that when there's nowhere to answer that question. So I'm glad that I remembered this time, because once you started talking about guides, I was like, yeah, I wonder about that. So that's wonderful. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our first break, or our only break, I guess, of the night. So hang on just a moment, and we'll be right back with more from Mrs. Deborah Varner, who's going to talk about spirits next. So don't go away. This is going to get amazing. It's already amazing, but it's going to get more amazing. So hang on just a sec. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back for more of the Paranormal Portal podcast. And tonight joining us is Mrs. Deborah Varner, who is pretty much the Paranormal Portal psychic. She's been coming on the show for a couple of years now doing free psychic readings. And she's been on and a contributor to the show for forever, really. I mean, nearly as long as I've been doing the show, she's been a part of it. So it's a great pleasure to have you on the podcast as well, Deb. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to have you here. Now, you do deal with the spirits quite a bit, not just in the form of readings and people that are alive, but you deal with the ones that have passed and other things as well. What causes a spirit to linger?
Oh, different things. Not realizing they're dead. Very tragic death, feeling like they don't want to leave their loved ones. Okay. They have a message that they feel like they have to get through. So they're waiting for that to go across. There's a few different reasons as to why they stay here.
Okay. Now, in the ones that don't know they're dead, I gotta imagine that would be a fresh kind of hell to be living like that. You go from one moment to, you know, having a life and having interactions to all of a sudden, you know, this confusion because nobody's noticing you anymore and nobody's talking to you and everybody seems to look just past you. What are those situations like when you come across those kind of spirits?
I love the expression that I get. They have spent time, you know, trying to... some in old houses, they have had people coming and going, and you know, nobody talking to them and trying to figure out what's going on. And when they realize that either I can hear them or I can see them, the expression on their face is like, you see me? Wait a minute, you can hear me? And it's just like, okay, I'm going for this. I love this. Because then I know I've got the chance that somebody else didn't. And honestly, if somebody else had been there, and I've had a couple of instances where I've talked to spirits that have had other people there investigating, that just walked out and left them.
Oh.
I don't like that.
So they came, they came to get their proof, and once they were done, they just bolted, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And see, I don't like that, because especially if, you know, once they realize that they are dead and they want to cross, I absolutely cross them over. It's a wonderful feeling to know that, you know, okay, yes, I'm talking to you. I can see you. Let's talk. What do you want to do? Okay, you're ready to go. Let's do this.
Right. And generally, they're really willing. Have you ever come across the ones that aren't willing to cross, or you know, they don't want to go?
If they're that adamant about it, there's not always a whole lot you can do. I mean, if I stand there and, you know, try for a little while and say, but really, you know, it's a beautiful place. You've got family there, you know, you really want to go, and they're adamant about they don't want to go. You know, there's just, I'm not going to force them, you know, because they have to want to. But most of them, you know, they find out that they're dead and they're willing and able, or, you know, if I can get a message through to their loved ones and they have that closure, then they will go ahead and go. I had one man that kept telling me that he wasn't a good man. He doesn't deserve to go to heaven. He should go to hell. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. I said, I know, I can feel that you have good there. No, 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 no. And we talked for a few minutes, and I said, give me a sec. And I started praying for him, you know, to cross, you know, having my discussion, because I do pray. I believe in prayer. You know, asking if he had done enough good things in his life that he could come. And it wasn't too long after that that he just, something came over him, and he said, I'm ready to go. And we sent him across.
Nice. Well, that's really cool. And I think that that's such a, such an important part of paranormal investigating. You know, the parts, just like you, I feel the same way. It's like these spirits, they're in a state of confusion or grief or whatever. And to just come and, you know, ask them to perform like little, you know, little circus animals and then leave has got to be about the most degrading thing ever, you know. I mean, and the fact that, you know, and I'm adamant, if I ever investigate, I will always have someone on the team that could do that, because I think that that's the responsibility and the obligation of the investigators is to help. I'm not sure about the teams that just go in with tools and they validate that, yeah, something's happening, and then they leave. And I mean, the people that live in those places already know something's happening. They didn't need somebody with a bunch of tools and toys to come in and tell them that. They needed some kind of closure, some kind of solution. And of course, the solution would be, you know, to either find a way to make that a peaceful situation or to cross over those spirits that are stuck and don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really cool.
I don't understand it. And I have to say, I do watch a lot of the different investigation shows, you know, on TV, the paranormal investigations. And what's funny, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, you know, like I am, that can see them or hear them or whatever. And as we're watching the show, well, I can't speak for them. I'll speak for myself. As I'm watching the show, I'm like, no, not over there, over here. Because a lot of times we can see or feel the spirits are somewhere else. And it's like, you know, geez, guys, if you were over here. And that's why, you know, I just feel like some of these investigation teams do need a psychic. Mm-hmm. Because if there's any questions later on, you know, hey, you know, ask the psychic before you leave there if there's any place else that you need to check.
Right.
Because granted, they would come up with more information.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a key part of any investigation, I would think, because, you know, why not go with somebody that can help you, you know, guide you to where they are. I imagine in many cases, these spirits that are stuck for whatever reason they're stuck, they may not understand why people keep coming in, and they may not understand what's going on, or, you know, and probably would be real reluctant or hesitant to approach at all. And so to have somebody there that could communicate and, you know, and say, hey, we're here, but this is why we want to help. And, you know, would you be willing to help us, you know? And I would think in most cases, as I understand it, these spirits that were once human. And when they die, not a lot changes other than the fact that they don't lug around a body anymore. They're still the same people they were in life. But I got another question, though, that I've been curious about, and this is one that I've been carrying in my head for a while. Have you ever come across, or is it possible if a spirit is stuck in a place that it could, over a period of time, just go insane?
I don't know about going insane. Okay. I know they get very angry. And then it's when, and demon is thrown around too much.
Right.
Granted, there are demons, mm-hmm. but not all negative energy is a demon.
Mm-hmm.
You do run across some that have become so frustrated and so angry that they will do something, especially if you have teams that go in and push the issue.
Uh-huh.
Then, yeah, they're going to get knocked around, they're going to get scratched, they're going to get bit, because these spirits are already so angry mm-hmm. over things. And it's just like anybody else, you know, you have to have a way to get your frustrations out.
Right.
So you know, don't go in and be mean. Don't go in and act like you're all that. If you really want to go in there and talk to them, go in and do it like just like you're talking to anyone else. Do it in a calm manner.
Right.
Ask your questions. Give them a chance to answer. Don't bombard them with questions, one after the other after the other. Then they're going to get angry. Ask mm-hmm. your question. Give them time to answer. If they don't say anything, then ask another question. But, I mean, there's a way, a right way and a wrong way of doing these investigations. And, I mean, I try my best to show respect to spirits because, you know, I feel like for the most part, they've earned it.
Right. Yeah. I would agree completely. Now, when you go into investigation situations like that, have you ever run across the non-human type of spirits?
Yes, actually, the other night, I forget what was being said in the chat, and all of a sudden I remembered one day when one of my daughters and her friend and I had gone out, and there was a house that they had said something about, and there wasn't much of it left, but they had told me that, you know, they had made contact with somebody there, and this is my foster daughter, Julia.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over there. It was out in a field, and like I said, there wasn't much left to it. But, I mean, it was a two-story house, an older home. And I did make contact with the girl, and I was trying to get her to come downstairs because she was staying on the second level. And I couldn't figure out why, and it was like she was terrified or something.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't explain to me, you know, what it was. And, you know, I kind of backed up a little bit and was checking the house over to see if I could kill if there was anything else there at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I'm feeling this weird vibration under my feet. And it started getting a little bit more intense and more intense. And it's like something was almost underground and coming our way.
Oh.
And I knew just as soon as it got close enough to me that it was a dark energy. And when I saw the young girl and saw how terrified she was, I didn't stick around. I just went ahead and got the two girls. I said, head for the car now. Don't stop. Head for the car.
Oh, geez.
And we went ahead and left because I definitely did not want to try to battle whatever it was mm-hmm. with the two girls there with me.
Right. Now, did you ever go back?
No, I didn't because without them, I wasn't sure where the house was at.
Oh.
And I definitely didn't want to take them back with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have had to got some more people to go with me to deal with that. But, you know, they showed me where it was at. And like I said, I didn't remember where it was at
sure.
myself because that was the one and only time I went there.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the kind of battle you got to be really sure about, too, because those, I mean, these things can truly be dangerous. In fact, I know people do it with the best intentions, but they say, don't worry, spirits can't hurt you. And it's like, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. They can hurt you. They can hurt
you. You're very wrong.
Yeah. They can really, really hurt you, and they can really, really wreck your world and wreck your life. They can destroy you. I don't think that 99.9% of them would. I don't necessarily mean, you know, the human variety. I mean the other kind that, you know, may or may
yeah.
not, whatever they are, whether, you know, they are indeed demon or devils or just elementals or nature spirits of some kind. I know that they wield incredible power. Excuse me. And I know that I believe it's incredibly naive for people to believe that. Well, they can't hurt me. Now, there is something to be said for having a faith in something that does protect you. If you believe they can't hurt you, it probably makes it harder for them to hurt you. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked to so many people and people close to me who have been brutalized by spirits and tormented. And they didn't give permission. They didn't do anything. In fact, a lot of those things for one person in particular happened when he was a child. He was literally brutalized by a spirit to the point of having these huge red welts raised up on his back in a place he could never have reached. It's like they can hurt you. And, you know, this is definitely a risk. But before you go into confrontations with things like that, you've really got to be on your game and you've got to be ready to go to war. Would you agree?
You do. You've got to make sure you're very well protected. You don't want to go into it by yourself. You want to make sure that you have other energies there that can help you against that.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I won't go up against dark energies. Now, there's a lot out there that's all they do is they will battle the dark energies. I try not to, but mm-hmm. if push comes to shove, oh, yeah, I'll go one-on-one with them.
Right. If you have to, yeah. But, I mean, my
yeah.
God, you know, a lot of these things are incredibly old, and they're incredibly intelligent, much more than we are. They know the ins and outs of reality a hell of a lot better than we do. And, you know, I mean, you've got to really be ready. And I'm not trying to instill fear in anybody, but I think a healthy dose of respect is important. You know,
that, oh, yeah. And they love playing mind games.
Right. And they have nothing but time. So they can
exactly.
spend 20 years going after you if you made them mad enough. And it's a blink
oh, yeah.
of the eye for them. You know, so they have nothing but time and a whole lot of creativity. and they'll hurt you in so many ways that you just don't even believe you can suffer. So, it's
and then you also have to worry about them attaching themselves to you and you taking them with you.
Right. Yep. And then
that's why. Yeah, you definitely have to be very, very careful when you go up against a dark energy. It's just, it can be unbelievable at times.
Yes, I agree. So, you know, I just want to warn people that, and I see that coming up all the time because I research the paranormal all the time. I'm doing paranormal shows every day of the week, sometimes many times a day. And that's a theme that comes up all the time is the people saying, I was always told they couldn't hurt me. You know, it's like, oh man, of all the bad advice, you know, but again, I understand that some people just, you know, believe that or buy into it because it's a comforting thought. It's like, well, I can walk through the lion's den and no lion's going to eat me. Well, you know, you're right. Maybe you can, but maybe you also can't. And you need to be aware of that.
In more cases, they will make you hurt. Well, not make you. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. They will cause you to hurt yourself.
Mm, yes.
But yes, there are those out there that will hurt you. Yeah. They are dead set on doing damage.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you're right. Then, now, in the cases of oppression and stuff, it's a war of attrition. It's again, they have nothing but time. They're not going anywhere. They're not trying to go anywhere. They're just trying to burn you down. So, you know, definitely, ladies and gentlemen, be careful. I know that right now paranormal investigating is just really kind of a trendy thing. It's like the newest reality show, so to speak, and people want to go check out the graveyards and they want to check out the abandoned asylums and stuff. And it becomes, you know, kind of like a bucket list kind of thing where it's like, well, I was at Waverly Hills. And it's like, well, you know, good for you, and I'm glad you made it out okay. But, you know, I think that most people are just generally not prepared for this kind of stuff.
Not. Don't go watch a couple of episodes of Ghost Hunters and think you're ready to go out and start investigating.
Right.
You do research mm-hmm. before you step foot anywhere where you're dealing with any spirit, be it good or bad, light or dark. You do research and you know what you're doing before you step anywhere that you're dealing with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Don't just jump into it thing because, oh, well, you know, I watch them. I can do the same thing.
Right.
No, you can't. And you put yourself and anyone else with you at risk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're bringing other people with you on your quest, then yeah, you're endangering everybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? I mean, just because you're the one with the idea doesn't mean you're the one that's going to end up with the attachment. Could be your buddy who reluctantly agrees to go with because he's got nothing better going on and, you know, terrible stuff. So, you know, I just think that people need to understand the gravity of these situations because it's a whole different world. Now, before you do your thing, which is, I'm speaking in terms of when you do your paranormal investigating, what is... You have a in and out kind of protocol. Like before you start, you do certain things, and then when you're done, you do certain things.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, like I say, I wholeheartedly believe in prayer. That's the main thing.
Yes.
I have certain things that I carry with me.
Mm-hmm.
My little positive power packs and the stuff. I have a, even though I'm not Catholic, I have family that's Catholic.
Sure.
Love them dearly. I have a rosary
mm-hmm.
that I usually wear. I have different crystals and stones that I take with me. I have what I call my ghost box that I carry with me. Most anything that I do, I take it with me in case I might have to have it.
Okay.
I have sage. I have sweet grass. I have white candles. I'm not going to go into everything that I have, but I mean, I have my basic ghost box that I carry with me.
Yeah.
I always cover myself in healing golden light so that it protects me from anything that I may come across.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure anybody that goes with me on anything that I'm doing, I make sure, you know, everything is done where they're concerned also. Once I leave, I had my prayers again, and I, thank the higher power for keeping us safe, mm-hmm. and make sure that nothing follows us. And, it's just certain basic things that I do. Well, of course, I say basic, but, there's just certain things that I do to prepare myself. And, when I come back from it, usually a lot of times I will go ahead, if I feel like I've collected negative energy, sea salt bath. That's my main thing for cleansing myself with any negative energy that I may have collected while I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
I may go ahead and burn some incense once I get back to the house. Just I take some time to chill once I get home and all. And, everybody has their own different thing that they do,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of a basic thing that we pull into to help protect us. And once we're finished, taking care of things.
Right. Yeah, and that's the big thing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story of, we went and checked out this graveyard, and then when we were done, we went home, and the next thing I know, the furniture's moving. It's like, well, yeah, you know, something obviously thought you were a lot more fun than a graveyard, and so you got followed home, and that's definitely a consideration as well. You got to be careful about things following you home, and they may not be malicious at all. They might not be negative at all, but you do run the risk of bringing something home, and whether mm-hmm. positive or negative or otherwise, it's certainly probably not going to be the way you remember things before.
exactly.
Well, that's really cool. And we only had an hour, so the time really flies, and our hour is almost up, but I want to make sure that you have a chance to let people know how to get a hold of you, because, your readings are not only incredibly profound, but your prices are just amazing. So if you'd let people know how to schedule a private reading with you, or how at least to stay in touch with you, that'd be great.
Okay. I have a Facebook page. It's Purple Mystic Readings by Deb. You can contact me through that. That has my information on it. Or you can email me at purplemysticreader@gmail.com.
Okay. Very good. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you again, I can't, I have no vested interest other than, I love Deb dearly. I've known her for a long time. But truly, I am nothing but proud to have this friendship, this relationship with Deb, and to have her on the show to offer her gifts to people. But she truly is the real deal, take it or leave it or whatever. But I don't ever recall ever having anybody go, hey, you know what, that reading sucked. I never heard those words. Everybody talks about how amazingly dialed in you are, how you are right on it, and they were just amazed, and it helped so much. And so if you get a chance, you get an opportunity, and you really want to have a peek ahead of what could be coming. Now, one other thing quickly, Deb, are readings cut in stone?
No. Okay. And most readers will tell you that. It's a look into what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the choice as to what you want to do. If you know what's coming and this, do you want it changed? You always have that option.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, it's an exercise of free will like anything else. If you smoke for 40 years, you might end up with problems. So if you quit after 10 years, you're probably going to be okay. You might have just changed that. So it's the same thing for everything in life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing's cut in stone. A reader can only tell you what could happen. They basically, in a nutshell, they translate the energy flow of what's going on for you, and they'll tell you where it could be heading. Just use it as a guidebook, or if you want to avoid something, that's a great indication of looking out for things to avoid. And if you want to, get excited about things, it's a great indication of exciting things to come in many cases. But I really thank you so much, Deb, for being here and being a part of the show and being a part of everything, in the Portal family.
Thank you so much for having me, Brent. And I'm telling you, I was so honored to have you ask me to do the show, and I feel honored being able to continue doing the show
Well, you know, and the pleasure is really all mine, but thank you so much. You've brought something incredibly special to every show. And ladies and gentlemen, we do these reading nights about once a month with Deb. So just keep watching our YouTube page. You can follow us on youtube.com/paranormalportal. And just watch out for those shows or listen to the YouTube feed. And I'll definitely announce when she's coming on. As we're recording this, this is May 14th, and Deb will be on this Friday to do the readings then. Unfortunately, this show will air after that date, but keep watching the listings on our YouTube page, and we will announce when she's coming up if you'd like to take advantage of getting a reading from Deb so you can see what she's all about. But definitely follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Follow us on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. So it's paranormal, P-O-R-T-L, and that's our Twitter. It's a very small community. I'm kind of working on it, but I'm really not a good tweeter, but I'm trying. So if you guys would help support us there, that'd be great. And on YouTube, again, youtube.com/paranormalportal. And we just look forward to hearing from you guys and seeing you become a part of all that we're doing. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe if you're on iTunes or another format. You can subscribe, and as new podcasts are released, you'll get a notification and you can listen to them. The Paranormal Portal does 3 podcasts every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so just keep watching, and 3 times a week we'll be doing new podcasts for your listening pleasure. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Have a great night, guys, and thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.